You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. So you can find all my work there. I've got my week 16 picks against the spread. We'll have the sleeper and bust picks up later on Wednesday for week 16. And I'll have the start sitcom there, The Decider, on Thursday morning. So that's how we kind of roll on the site, and kind of mirrors what I do on Locked On Fantasy Football. And you can always check me out on Twitter at Vinny Iyer. It's all lowercase. My name, straight up, no underscore, Vinny Iyer. That's where you'll find me on Twitter. And look for a link later today to join the draft for Locked On Fantasy Football. It'll be the name of the draft on Draft. And if you haven't played Draft, this is a good time to get in here. And Matchup Wednesday is also a Draft Wednesday for you. We'll give you a idea of how to join in on the Locked On Fantasy Football special draft that goes down later today. It'll be set up there at 5 p.m. Eastern time. So look for that. I'll tweet out the link. Check it out on Vinny Iyer on Twitter as well. And you can get into Draft and take advantage of a special promo code to get in on the action. A new way to play fantasy football here as we close 2017. It's a lot of fun, and I know you'll love playing on Draft. Now, on Matchup Wednesday, we break down all the games, and we only have 2 weeks of NFL regular season left, so it's getting down to the nitty-gritty. I think a lot of you, I know, are hoping for a championship this week. Some leagues still playing to week 17. We'll still be here for all that and make sure you're good to go for those games. But week 16 is pretty critical. Championships on the line. A lot of good things at stake here, no matter what league you're in. And I think the best thing is that on this holiday week, I'm sure you're busy getting last-minute things ready to go, gifts and all that, that you don't have to worry about a Thursday game. I think that's the biggest Christmas gift of them all, not to worry about that this week. Still, we're going to play through Christmas. Christmas Eve is a loaded day of Sunday. Our first games, however, come on Christmas Eve on Saturday. It's the Colts host traveling to the Ravens. It's a little confusing with Baltimore hosting Indianapolis. You know, that Indianapolis used to be Baltimore or something like that. But the Ravens fans have long forgotten that, as the Ravens have been good. They've won a couple Super Bowls there as the Ravens, and they have a good shot this year to make the playoffs. They still can get there. If they win out, the Ravens will be in, and this is a very favorable matchup for them at home against the Colts. And you look at Joe Flacco, Mike Wallace. Jeremy Maclin's going to miss this game with a back injury, so I'd expect Joe Flacco and Mike Wallace to be usable again for another week. We mentioned Flacco as a good pickup. Wallace should be owned in every league at this point. So should Benjamin Watson. The Colts can struggle against the tight end. They really struggle against everything defensively at this time. So a good spot for a few sleepers there with Flacco and Wallace and Watson. But I think a stud in this game that you definitely want to get in. He'll rebound from the disappointment against Cleveland last week is Alex Collins. We just got to love him. C.J. Anderson came back to life against this Colts defense last Thursday, so Collins is going to get the ball a lot. He should just have a monster day from scrimmage. The ownership is going to be pretty high, but I think you have to go for it here because some people may be off of Collins because he disappointed against the Browns. I don't think that's going to happen. The Browns actually had a good run defense. The Colts do not at this point, so Alex Collins going on him, but I wouldn't overextend beyond those four. Obviously, you're going to play the Ravens' defense at home. They've just been monstrous in these type of matchups. The sacks should be there. A lot of opportunities for big plays for the Ravens. So, good things, Ravens. On the Colts side of things, I really can't recommend anything at this point. I mean, T.Y. Hilton has gone into the tank, and he's going to get a pretty good matchup here with no Jimmy Smith, with Marlon Humphrey maybe covering him a little bit. So you saw this secondary really contain Josh Gordon with the shaky quarterback play and line play there that DeShone Kizer can do anything, and I think that's going to be the same here for the Colts. So everything, you stay away from the Colts. The Ravens elevate some guys as sleepers, but still Collins and the defense are studs. Our next game is the Vikings traveling to the Packers, and we found out on Tuesday late that Aaron Rodgers indeed has been re-shut down for the season on injured reserve here. So you got Brett Hundley starting again. We know Davante Adams was knocked out, so we'll have to see his status in this one. He might not be able to go, and we know that Jordy Nelson and Brett Hundley have not been on the same page either. So with this Vikings defense on the other side, and we saw the results of the first game, I mean, Adams, if he plays, you're going to go there, but still he could draw maybe Xavier Rhodes in this one and just try to shut him down and go from there and take their chances with Jordy Nelson this time around, knowing that Hundley cannot stop. So Adams doesn't look that great for this week. Hundley, you can't really go with at all. So it really brings down the rest of the Packers' deep offensive guys and defense, really. And you look at the running game, Jamal Williams really struggled last week, got a bit banged up. Aaron Jones came in and looked a little better. But if it's a split against this Vikings run defense, it's not looking good for production there. So pretty much avoid the Packers, and you might be all together with no Adams in there. On the Vikings side of things, they still need to keep winning here to put pressure on the Eagles. The Eagles can wrap up things there on Monday night against the Raiders for the number one seed if they win. But the Vikings can at least make it interesting. So they're not going to slow down here. The chance to sweep the Packers. The Packers are out of the playoffs already. So Vikings are not going to finish them off. But they can remind them that they're pulling away in the division. So I expect the Vikings to play well. I expect them to win this game. They're 9-10 point favorites in this one. You're looking at an over-under of 46 there. So expect a lot of good scoring from the Vikings, not much from the Packers in this one. And I think Case Keenum is a solid play if you need him. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs, the matchups are really good against the secondary. You really like the running backs as well, Latavius Murray, Jerick McKinnon. The wheels are just really coming off, and Kyle Rudolph as well. So everything you can with the Vikings, get them in, depending on what else you have. They are good plays, while the Packers look pretty ugly. So two similar games on Saturday, pretty one-sided for the teams in purple. Now we go to our Sunday games, and we'll start with the Bengals hosting the Lions. 43.5, the over-under this one. The Lions are slight favorites. I would take the Lions more than 3.5 or 4 points. I know it's a tricky road game, but it's not like the Lions are traveling very far for this one in Cincinnati. And let's start with the Lions and Matthew Stafford. The Bengals can be a bit tricky, but their defense is a bit depleted right now. You saw Case Keenum put up two scores there, and the Lions should be able to run the ball a little bit better than usual. It's still maybe with Teon Green and Amir Abdullah, so I wouldn't have too high expectations there. But with Eric Ebron, Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, I think you'll see the short passing game work very well, as well as a few downfield shots, especially with this Bengals secondary kind of depleted here at this point. So Stafford and his weapons are good. I think Tate will rebound. Jones will stay solid. And Ebron, I think, will stay hot in this one against the Bengals, who are struggling more to cover the tight end with their injuries there at linebacker and safety. So good, decent spot for Lions. Not spectacular, but you'll take it. On the Bengals side of things, you're going to hope for the best for A.J. Green. I think if Joe Mixon plays, he's worth playing because the Lions can be vulnerable against running backs. They were better against the Bears, but Mixon, I figure if he goes, he's going to get a high volume alone. So it could be a split between him and Bernard as he returns from a concussion, but I expect Mixon to get a lot of touches in this one. So you can play him if you need him. I think you are locked into Green. You just have to temper your expectations for second straight week. Had Xavier Rhodes last week. He's going to get a good, healthy helping of Darius Slay this week. So I don't have really expectations of any kind for the Bengals passing game in this one, but Mixon could get the job done. And with the passing game, can't trust Tyler Kroft either. as well, just kind of faded from this offense. With Andy Dalton struggling, I just don't see it being that great for the Bengals at home. Our next game is the Chargers and the Jets. And it's a 42.5, so right around the over-under of the other game. The Chargers are actually 7-point favorites, and we have a lot of lopsided games this week. That's going to be the theme, and I really like the Chargers in this one to rebound. Phillip Rivers is going to make up for that bad game. I know the Jets can cause some problems, and they force some turnovers to stick around in New Orleans, but Keenan Allen is healthy. He's not going to have Hunter Henry most likely for this game at tight end, but Keenan Allen's going to be in there. Tyrell Williams is going to be there. Travis Benjamin. He's going to have Antonio Gates still, who scored last week. So plenty of weapons for Rivers to be solid. Melvin Gordon took on a bigger role and was very productive last week. I think that can also continue against the Jets. The Chargers team, not going to be too disheartened with that loss at Kansas City. Still has a chance to make the playoffs. I think they'll rebound and have a good performance here. Defensively, they'll just eat up Bryce Petty and this offense of the Jets as well. So pretty one-sided here with the 7-point spread on the road, long road trip. So that tells you how good the Chargers could be in this one. And on the Jets side of things, it's really hard. I mean, now the rushing attack is a three-headed monster officially again with Bilal Powell and Elijah McGuire and Matt Forte. You don't know who's going to touch the ball most. You don't know who's going to score. Can't really trust that. And Robbie Anderson is probably going to get a lot of Casey Hayward in this one. So absolutely nothing to trust in the Jets. Most things to trust in the Chargers. And yeah, if you're a Hunter Henry owner and you need a little bit of a spark and you're struggling here in week 16, you could go to Antonio Gates for sure, because the Jets can be eaten up by tight ends and those type of athletic receivers. And you know he's going to get the red zone looks there with Henry out. So Gates, if it's sneaky, you can go that way. But I wouldn't maybe stretch to Williams and Benjamin, especially with Keenan Allen good to go for this one. So, but Gates is the guy that I would insert there with Gordon and Allen as the skill players. Our next game is the LA Rams going to Tennessee. This one's a little higher scoring. We're close to 50 now at the over-under, around 49. Here, Rams are pretty heavy favorites. The Titans have looked awful offensively. Well, for the most part, against Arizona and San Francisco, Marcus Mariota was able to salvage a day there with a touchdown each to Rishard Matthews and Delanie Walker. But that's what you're counting on. That's a pretty low ceiling there for Mariota. Rams defense is much tougher than what they are going to get against the pass than San Francisco was. Rams have become better against the run as well, and the Titans are not running the ball effectively at all with DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry. Really, their exotic smash mouth has caught up to them. It's kind of a boring offense, very predictable, and a team like the Rams who have good schemers with Wade Phillips are going to take advantage of that. So I'm not a fan of anything on the Titans, even home this week. You're hoping desperately for a touchdown if you're playing Murray or Henry, and Matthews can be contained here as well as Delanie Walker. So I think you're definitely going with Walker. I think if you have better options, you can go with Matthews. Walker, you'll just hope for the best because he's a guy that does get targets, and there's not too many tight ends left standing like that at this point, so you got to go with him. On the Rams side of things, I try to look at the matchups to exploit because Sean McVay is the really good of them. Todd Gurley, it doesn't matter if the Titans are going to oversell to stop the run. We know Gurley will get his get touchdowns, even if he's bottled up in the running game, and be a big factor in the passing game to make up for his yardage. So he's just fine. I think when you look at this receiving court, it might be a time to maybe in a GPP situation to go with Sammy Watkins. I really like Jared Goff in this game. So I think they're going to spread the ball around. The Titans corners are pretty darn weak here. I think Cooper Kupp could be a big factor again. I know Watkins and Kupp kind of took a backseat with Robert Woods returning, but I think all three could have big time success in this one as the Titans can, again, contain the run, so Goff's going to have to put it up a lot more. It's not going to be like the Seattle game where it's all Gurley. It still could be a lot of Gurley, but maybe coming through the passing game this week. But I expect Goff to really do well here. It's good daily fantasy play, especially in GPP formats. I think a good pair with that would be Watkins because of the big playability as well. So good matchup for the Rams all around, bad one for the Titans all around. Our next game is a bit ugly for both sides. The over-under on this Bears hosting the Browns game is 38. Ooh, that's the reaction that we should have here. I don't know what you want to play in this game, and it's not looking good because as bad as these offenses are, these defenses are pretty darn good at stopping certain things. So it's a nightmare for fantasy. So I think if you were wacky and had one tournament lineup, you could go Mitchell Trubisky against the Browns secondary. But Kendall Wright's not a bad PPR play as a wide receiver. If you need him here in a deeper league, I think he could, you could do a lot worse at this point the way he's being involved. We'll see if Adam Shaheen returns, but I think he's a deep sleeper here for sure. They used him a lot against the Bengals, and it worked. He missed last week's game against the Lions with a chest injury. It was a bummer there. I think he could have done some damage there against Detroit, but you look at Shaheen as a guy maybe you can sneak in there with Trubisky and or Wright in a tournament format, but that's about it. Jordan Howard, you're going to play in year-long, but Browns with Danny Shelton are still pretty good at stopping the run. You're going to hope that Howard somehow finds the end zone this one to make up for maybe limited yardage all around. On the Browns side of things, DeShone Kizer, you just don't know what he's going to do, and hard to trust him. That's hard to trust Josh Gordon and Corey Coleman. You might still play Gordon because of the talent, and I can see that. If he can sneak by Chicago secondary once, you might look there, but I would just not have high hopes or expectations for what Gordon can do here. When you look at Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, Duke Johnson's really hard to sit, especially in your PPR, because he's just so versatile, going to get his either way. So I really like Duke Johnson this one. I think Crowell could struggle a little bit in the straight-up power running game. I think at this point, because of their usage, you have to look at them in certain leagues, but I feel a lot better about Johnson than Crowell in this particular matchup. So still a lot not to see here, and you can move on pretty quickly. And we will move on to the game in Carolina. This one could be a bit high scoring, and it's a 46 over under here with the Panthers hosting the Buccaneers. And Cam Newton, he's on fire right now. You got to keep rolling with him. Christian McCaffrey and Jonathan Stewart could have some value. I think McCaffrey definitely with this issue in the Bucs, the linebacker core with Lavonte David banged up, Gerald McCoy banged up front, that McCaffrey is a good one, and you can probably use Stewart as well if you need in this matchup, because you look at Devontae Freeman all around, he had a good game, power running and versatile pass catching there for the Falcons against the Bucs. So I think Stewart is usable in a deeper league. I just feel a lot better about McCaffrey. Greg Olsen is back to being a guy that you have to play as a regular tight end. You look at the receiving core, I think there's a good chance for Devin Funchess to maybe rebound against this Bucs secondary as well. So Funchess, Olsen, McCaffrey, Newton, you feel good all about those guys. And if you need to stretch, you can go Stewart as well. The Panthers defense, you look, I know the Bucs avoided turnovers and played a pretty clean game against the Falcons, but the Panthers have really been forcing the issue and getting takeaways, so you can do that. Jameis Winston's not going to have another clean game, second one in a row here, but you look at Winston, he's actually gone three straight with the multiple touchdown games. So when you look at Winston, he is usable, and you look at the secondary, you can make some plays against him, especially with Mike Evans in the group. But keep in mind that DeSean Jackson had to exit that game early, ruled out quickly with an ankle. O.J. Howard was knocked out, so we'll have to see if he's short on weapons here. Because Cameron Brate could be contained by this Panthers defense, and we're going to see the backfield. I wouldn't trust either Peyton Barber or Doug Martin returning from that one-game rule suspension there. It's just really difficult to look at either option in this game. So I don't really love the Bucs, but Evans, I think you have to play regardless. Winston, will see how the injury report comes out on Jackson and Howard. I think if you can do a little bit better in a safer matchup that's at home, then I would go in that direction away from Winston. Evans, you're playing. I think Brate, if you're stuck, given Winston's chemistry with Brate, you're going to have to play him, especially if Howard is out here. But I just can't expect too much from the Bucs on the road, especially for their running game. As we mentioned on the top of the show, it's Draft Wednesday, and football fans, listen up. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You can get to play in a real live snake draft, but you're done in under 5 minutes, and they last for just 1 week. You can join one right now for week 16. I'm going to have that locked on fantasy football one that you can join that I'll send the link out. But the best part is, you can play for cold, hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites. So That's great news. And all new players, this is even better news, get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. But you have to use the promo code LONFL. That's the promo code LONFL. That's right. Play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL. It gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they're even offering Locked On Fantasy Football listeners a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play free right now with the promo code LONFL. And like I said, look for that link that I'll tweet out at 5 p.m. Eastern time today. We will have a special Locked On Fantasy Football League there. I'll send out the invite. You can join, get in on the action. Use that promo code LONFL and go for it and go for the big money. And once you get there, you'll be hooked. It's fun, easy, a different way to play fantasy football. And you got to take advantage now while the season is still going on at Draft or with the Draft app. Now, let us continue with our next games here at the 1 p.m. window. And you look at Tampa Bay and Carolina. It was one NFC South matchup, but the marquee one this week is the Atlanta Falcons traveling to the New Orleans Saints, a rematch from a couple weeks ago. This has got a pretty high over under, one of the better shootouts of the week. So really it's our game of the week for fantasy football purposes. And it's expected to be a little bit more higher scoring than the first game. I think there was a lot left on the table, a lot of mistakes by both teams. Now the Falcons are hitting on all cylinders. We'll see if Tevin Coleman can return to play in this one, but if not, regardless, Devonta Freeman is on fire the past 2 weeks, is a must-start, a very good DFS play, maybe a pivot off the Saints' backfield in this one, where, of course, Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara always have high value, but Freeman definitely locked in. If Coleman plays, I think you have to go there as well in a deeper league, maybe with Coleman, but Freeman's definitely locked into your lineup. Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, I think you can look at maybe going back and forth. I know their disappointment has been there with some limited scoring here, partly because the rushing game is so good for both these teams, and they can take away from the passing production here from both top quarterbacks. But I expect the points are going to be a lot higher than the first game, a lot more on the line here. It'll go back and forth in the other Mercedes-Benz venue, the Superdome versus the Stadium. So when you look at the Saints, you got Ingram and Kamara, Michael Thomas. I think that's about it there, but that's fine. I mean, those guys can all produce big time, and that's why the Saints have been so good in fantasy this year with their main guys, because there's not too many people get involved. Eventually, Ted Ginn could make a big play in this one, but Brandon Coleman lost two fumbles last week, so they're not going to expand it too much. It's going to be basically the Ingram, Kamara, and Thomas show, and that's enough to get Breeze going. On the other side, we know it's pretty much going to be the Freeman slash Coleman, and then the Jones-Sanu show for Matt Ryan for the most part. So I think there's still plenty of production there to be had in the quarterbacks. I think you want to get in everybody. Sanu, I feel a lot better as a wide receiver three than I would again in this one for sure, but definitely a good spot for all your Falcons and Saints, except for either defense. You're not going there this week. Our next 1 p.m. game, and we have actually three more to look at, is the Broncos traveling to the Redskins. This is expected to be a low-scoring game. It's right over 40 with the over-under here. It's a Redskins slight favorite. I can't expect too much offense in this one, but it's not a bad spot here for Kirk Cousins. At least he's home. He can use the Broncos' secondary a little bit to throw to the tight end a little bit more. So I expect some better production from Vernon Davis this week after scoring a couple weeks ago but struggling in this game this past week against the Cardinals. So I see Davis being involved a little bit more. The Broncos do have a good pass rush here, so there's not high expectations for Kirk Cousins, especially with Aqib Talib. A second straight tough matchup outside for Josh Doctson. He's going to have to work in the middle of the field to more Jamison Crowder and Ryan Grant in this one. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But Kirk Cousins, he has a pretty low ceiling to me this week if you want to pivot off him and go elsewhere. I don't really like Samaje Perine. Him and the Redskins running game have gone back to sputtering here pretty badly of late. The Broncos can still stop the run. So don't love too much about the Redskins. I think it's going to be a field goal fest. I don't really love too much about the Broncos either with the unknown quarterback situation there. Brock Osweiler for now, but it easily could turn to Paxton Lynch, and then everything kind of goes downhill with all that. So Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, you can go there, but keep in mind Sanders might have a tough matchup outside. Thomas, at least they can move around a little bit. So Demaryius Thomas might be the only Bronco that I can really recommend here on the Redskins side. It's just not looking good. It's kind of like play them if you need them, but if you've got some better options, go away from guys in this game on either side. The defenses in this game could be rather productive if you're looking there. The Broncos can take advantage of the Redskins' beat-up line to get some sacks here and maybe some turnovers of Cousins. On the other side, the Redskins could go after Osweiler. I think I like them even more if they're facing Lynch at home. So that's really your best source of production. And it's sad this time of year, but you can't sleep on any defense that could help you, especially if you've been playing the streaming game all year through the championship game in your league in Week 16. Our next game is the Dolphins traveling to the Chiefs. And the Chiefs have started to play a lot better of late. I think the play calling has been more streamlined, so you're playing your principals for the Chiefs, Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and that's about it. I think you could look at Alex Smith as well if you need to in a deeper league, but you should have a better option than him. But the Dolphins secondary can be a little tricky. They've been a little bit up and down this year, but you look at the Chiefs offense, it's very similar to what the Bills offense will be. A lot of Hunt instead of LeSean McCoy, Alex Smith with his athleticism, moving the ball around. So they'll keep it simple. They'll work to the tight end as well with Kelce, and things will eventually open up for Tyreek Hill as well. So good matchup all around for the Chiefs at home. They're on a roll. They've won two straight games in nice fashion against the Raiders and Chargers and Arrowhead, and Hunt is back to getting the ball, so I love him the most of all the Chiefs again this week. On the other side of things for the Dolphins, you got Kenny and Drake. Jarvis Landry, I think, will bounce back here for maybe a bigger game. He was still solid last week against the Bills, but I think it's still the Landry and Drake show. You can't trust Kenny Stills versus Devontae Parker. That makes you trust Jay Cutler even less on the road after Phillip Rivers had a meltdown here. We know Jay Cutler can easily have that kind of a terrible game on the road against anyone. So I would go away from Cutler. I think you just keep it simple with Drake and Landry, and then the other side, it's pretty simple with Kelce, Hill, and Hunt, and Smith if you need him. And we wrap up the early afternoon window with the Bills and the Patriots here. And the Patriots are 10-point favorites in this one at home, 10 to 12, depending on what site you're looking at. But 47 is the over-under. So expect New England to put up some points, but keep in mind, Tom Brady's kind of cooled off here the last 3 weeks. It's been a cavalcade of rushing production and not enough passing touchdowns from Brady here late in the season. So disappointing. He might have knocked you out of the fantasy football playoffs because of his performances. But if you're still alive with him, got to stick with him. He could explode at any point. This is the type of game where he could for sure at home against the Bills. Rob Gronkowski's overdue to have a big touchdown game. He had a big yardage game last week against the Steelers. Didn't translate into scores, but Buffalo maybe can try to shore up against the run a little bit. No Rex Burkhead in this game. Keep that in mind with the knee injury. So that's going to make Brady maybe look to throw more in the red zone as well. That's what it really comes down to, because he'll move the ball pretty well and they'll pretty be balanced and explosive. But you need the scores from Brady, and I think they could easily come from Gronk, who eats up Buffalo and is coming off a very destructive game against the Pittsburgh Steelers last week. So I expect Brady to bounce back in this one. And DFS, if you want to pay up for him and to pivot, and a lot of people won't, I think this is the time to do it with Brady. And Gronk obviously is locked in. Brandon Cooks has to be in your lineup, especially the way that Chris Hogan looks banged up and not himself and was not even involved last week. So I think you look at Cooks and Gronk, they can have Brady have a big day as well. Deion Lewis, now the backfield is pretty much his with a very limited James White. Even when Burkhead was in there, now with Burkhead out, I expect more of Lewis. So Lewis was looking good with Gronk and Cooks and Brady. I don't think I'd go any more than that. With the Bills, I think you go Tyrod if you need him. He did have a lot of struggles in the first matchup against the Patriots, so it's a very low upside play. He might be solid for you, but not spectacular. McCoy stays in your lineup no matter what. Charles Clay could also have some value underneath of catching some balls from Taylor, especially in PPR, but Taylor himself don't really love this particular week. Now, are you already looking ahead to the 2018 NFL Draft and the prospects that are going to come to the league? You know, you got some good quarterbacks in the marquee there with Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen out of the Pac-12. Then you have Lamar Jackson and Baker Mayfield, your recent Heisman Trophy winners. Well, them and Saquon Barkley are forming the next generation of fantasy football stars. And the best way to listen and learn about all those guys is on Locked On NFL Draft, hosted by John Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. They do a great job on the network to bring you insight leading up to what's going to be happening on the clock in April when teams are drafting for real and setting up their offensive skill players for the 2018 season. So check out that show, Locked On NFL Draft, part of the Locked On NFL Network, as well as Locked On Fantasy Football. So a sister show that is very good to check out, especially this time of year. As we move on to the late afternoon and night games, and then we have those Monday games as well, we start with the Jaguars and 49ers. And the Jaguars are favored in this one, 4 to 5 points. The over-under is around 42. Here, the Jaguars, when you look at them, you got to keep rolling here with Blake Bortles, his weapons. It doesn't matter if Marquise Lee's out. Keelan Cole now jumps up the chain, could be very productive. I think D.D. Westbrook had a little bit of an off game, but that's because Cole and Jaden Mickens were doing all the damage. I think he'll get another fun this week as Cole is going to get a little bit more attention and coverage, plus the 49ers secondary is not very good. Keep in mind the 49ers run defense has really improved here the past several weeks. Part of it is Reuben Foster coming back in the middle. Solomon Thomas has started to play better with their two rookies. So really the Jaguars are going to have to put the ball in the air, especially with Leonard Fournette. We're not quite sure about him and the quadriceps, if he's going to return, and the ankle is still bothering him as well. So the Jags might feel like, oh, we're doing a long road trip. We might be able to win this game pretty handily without him with our offense and defense. So there's a chance Fournette may not make the trip. In that case, I do not like Chris Ivory or T.J. Yeldon doing much against San Francisco. Fournette's talent can help him against a tough run defense, but Ivory and Yeldon are just not good enough, and the volume is not going to help you either. So it could all set up nicely for Blake Bortles having another good game here, finishing really strong. If you streamed him here down the stretch, you're looking good and probably on the verge of a championship here, and he can definitely cap it for you in Week 16. On the 49ers side thing, Jimmy Garoppolo's played pretty well. The fantasy stats haven't been as big because the multiple touchdowns have not been there. He's been able to shoot past 300 yards, didn't have the pick last week, didn't have the touchdown, but still, when you look at that, it keeps him from the 20-point threshold in the 6-point TD passing type league. So you've been looking for the multiple TDs. It's hard to expect that to suddenly come against the Jaguars, and that yardage total is probably not going to be close to the 300 mark in this one. So Jimmy Garoppolo, you got to pivot away from. You can't really like anything else if you don't like Garoppolo, because he holds the keys to what Marquise Goodwin can do against this really brutal secondary. Pro Bowlers A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey both named to the Pro Bowl. So the Jaguars are nasty all around. Garoppolo, this 49ers offense is really going to struggle. Stay away from that, but you feel really good about the Jaguars passing game in this one. Our next game is the Cardinals hosting the Giants here. Big news for the Cardinals, Drew Stanton is now back starting over Blaine Gabbert. I don't know if that's good news or bad news. It's just news that you're not going to get the running around of Gabbert franticness, but you will get Stanton putting the ball in the hands of Larry Fitzgerald, and that ultimately led to Gabbert's benching. Just was not getting the passes in the hands of the right guys. And Fitzgerald is the only receiver I trust here. John Brown could miss another game with a toe injury. Got Jerron Brown and J.J. Nelson kind of cancel each other out. At tight end, Ricky Seals-Jones, he did break out, remember, when Gabbert was in there and really faded last week against the Redskins. But Jermaine Grisham, we'll have to see with the illness if he can play in this one after missing last week. If not, you could look at Seals-Jones as well, because the Giants horrendous time covering all kinds of tight ends for sure. So Seals Jones is their most athletic guy over Troy Nicholas. And if that's the case, I think you can look at him as a deeper sleeper. So Stan, that said, even the possibility with multiple touchdowns, I can't recommend him in this crucial time of the season. Kerwin Williams, you can look at. He's getting the volume, but keep in mind Elisha Penny is touching the ball quite a bit behind him. But the game flow could also favor the Cardinals, where Williams could be more effective and get more touches in this one. So we'll have to see that. But he's been pretty solid at 9, 8, and I think 6 points in standard leagues. For a replacement, not too bad. More of a flex deep play there for Williams, especially because you can't completely trust the game flow. On the Giants side of things, I'm going to stick with the guys here, Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram. They're busy. They're being heavily targeted by Eli Manning. And there's nothing too scary about this Cardinals secondary. I know Patrick Peterson's on one side, but because Sterling Shepard works the slot and Engram obviously inside as well, at tight end, they'll be away. So those are the only two Giants I really like. Their backfield has become a mess with Orleans Darkwell versus Wayne Gallman. The Cardinals are still pretty good against the run. So Shepard and Engram, so wide receiver and tight end on one side, and wide receiver and tight end on the other side with Fitzgerald and Seals Jones. Our next game is the Seahawks traveling to the Cowboys, and this is a 47 over under on this one, and expect a lot of points to come. Ezekiel Elliott is back returning, and I know the Cowboys have been pretty coy about how they're going to use him in his first game back. Is he going to have rust? This is not a quarterback. This is Ezekiel Elliott. There is no rust. You plug him in behind this offensive line, which may not have Tyron Smith. Keep that in mind. He had a bit of a back tweak there last week against the Raiders, so that could hurt the Cowboys' offense a little bit in this one, but keep in mind the Seahawks' defense is not the Seahawks' defense you're used to. They say Bobby Wagner is close to 100%, but a lot of guys aren't, and a lot of guys are out right now. So Zeke's in. Don't ask any questions. Put him back in. And immediately do not think about Alfred Morris or Rod Smith. It was fun while it lasted for those two. They did some good things while he was out, but it's going to be the Zeke show pretty much. They could get a few more touches, but nothing to see there, and it's going to be the Zeke show. When you look at the Seahawks secondary, Dez Bryant, I think it's up and down with Dez Bryant. We were disappointed what he did against the Raiders, only 2 catches for 59 yards there, but we'll see. I think Shaq Griffin could be a little bit of a tough matchup for Bryant, but you're still going to probably put him out there with the chance for a short touchdown there against the Seahawks. That's where his value is. Jason Witten, it's extremely hard to trust him in this type of matchup, so I might go away from there. I expect the Cowboys to be grounded. Prescott's going to move around and make a few big plays. You just don't know who they're going to be to. Here, I bet he rushes for a touchdown and throws for one, so that helps Prescott there. Zeke could also take over and score in this one. So I don't really like too much in the passing game. I think you're playing Dez with the possibility of a touchdown. Beasley and Witten, you don't know what the split is going to be between those two underneath targets from Prescott. So can't go there, but overall I do like Prescott because Elliott does make him better and a stronger fantasy performer. And we know that what Todd Gurley did last week had really helped Jared Goff. I know the game got way out of hand where Goff didn't even have to throw for 150 yards, but I expect this is going to be more back and forth than that game. The Cowboys' defense not being good or as playing as well as the Rams at the moment here. So it'll go back and forth a little bit. The points will be there. I also like Russell Wilson to rebound. It was a really bad game there in Week 15, right when his owners needed him. But Week 16, if you stuck with him and you survived and you got into this week, you're going to feel good about it with Wilson. I know Sean Lee's back there, and it helps, and the Cowboys' young corners are playing well, but this is the do-or-die situation for the Seahawks. They have to kind of win this game to keep their hopes alive in the reality thing with the playoffs. So I expected Wilson to rebound. Doug Baldwin is too proud to sit back and not be good again. Jimmy Graham could struggle a little bit elsewhere on the field away from the red zone, but I expect they'll correct it after he was disappearing from the game plan the past 2 weeks here. So the Seahawks have to get him involved here against the Cowboys for sure. So I think don't panic too much. I think Mike Davis, if some people dropped him, not a bad GPP pivot there because you can run on the Cowboys if needed. Lee cleans up some things, but Davis could be need a lot to play keep away. Maybe they'll play ball control to keep it away from Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott on the other side. So intriguing game. I think you have to stay away from the defenses, however, for sure, even with both offenses maybe having some limitations in this one. Now we get into our Monday games. We unwrap them for Christmas. We have the Steelers and Texans. Pittsburgh here is about a 9 to 10 point favorite. The over-under is 44 in this one on the first game of Christmas Day. It feels like the NBA doubleheader, but you look at the Steelers, they're not going to have Antonio Brown in this one, but you still know they're going to have Martavis Bryant and Juju Smith-Schuster. That elevates both their values in this one against the Texans secondary that, remember, just got destroyed by the likes of Keelan Cole and Jaden Mickens last week. And if you look at those two players, Bryant and Juju Smith-Schuster, they're just better versions of those two players. So that opens up opportunities with no Brown. I think Bryant is going to probably be heavily owned, as well as Juju Smith-Schuster and DFS. But if you got them in standard leagues, fire them up. They can have big, big value for you this week with no Antonio Brown. The Steelers have to keep winning, especially if the Jaguars win, to keep pressure on them for that number two seed. And they're going to try to hopefully push the Patriots for the number one seed. So there'll be something to play for sure for the Steelers when they take the field here. So I really look at Le'Veon Bell, and I think he could go off. Into the Texans' run defense is pretty good, but Le'Veon Bell is better than that. So I think it'll be a lot of Bell, a good mix of Bryant and Smith-Schuster here. Ben Roethlisberger should be productive on the road for you. In Houston, it's a comfortable environment, no weather to worry about. On the other side, we know what it's coming for the Texans. T.J. Yates is starting again. I think if you need Lamar Miller, just because of the volume, you have to play him. But DeAndre Hopkins, he's locked in every week. He gets the job done no matter who's out there. Quarterback, no matter what the matchup is, the targets and production and talent are going to get him his points every week. So he's about it. Miller, if you need him, sure, because of the volume. There's not too many backs who touch the ball that often at this stage of the season here. So you got to stick with him, but I feel good about Hopkins in here because, you know, the game flow is going to go out of hand where the Steelers are going to have a big lead and things are going to open up where Hopkins can get a garbage touchdown or two in this one. So it's a pretty game to simply break down here, and it's all Steelers and Texans playing catch-up in this one late to help Hopkins. We go to our final game on Monday night, and it's the Eagles hosting the Raiders. They're about a 9 or 10 point favorite as well. The two Pennsylvania teams in action on Christmas Day. You look at the Raiders. I know that Eli Manning went off and had 400 plus yards passing and dismantled this Eagles secondary, but that's Eli Manning. He's playing a lot better. He was a lot more aggressive. I know he was dinking and dunking a lot, but he was also taking his shots and he was getting some big plays from receivers. I don't know if you can trust Derek Carr in this one. I mean, it was pretty ugly against the Cowboys. This is on the road against the Eagles. The elements are going to be there. We're not sure if Amari Cooper can return, so there's that doubt on where he's going to get his points from. I don't know if you can expect another two-touchdown game from Michael Crabtree to kind of bail the Raiders out in this one. But I expect the Eagles to play very well, as it's a chance to finish off home field advantage in the NFC. So their defense is going to be fired up. I think when you look at this, the Raiders offense, keep in mind Donald Penn, the left tackle, is down for the season. So he just got hurt. He's a Pro Bowler. So that's going to really open things up for the Eagles pass rush to contain Derek Carr here. Carr's already a little bit gun shy. If he gets a few hits here, he could be a pretty lopsided game pretty quickly. So when you look at the Eagles side of things, Nick Foles, you got to love. He's at home. He's on fire. Remember, last time you saw this team, he had 7 touchdown passes against them in Oakland, kind of a Peyton Manning-like performance, and he had 4 touchdown passes last week. There's nothing that has to give in this matchup at all for Foles and the Eagles. Alshon Jeffrey has a very good matchup here, obviously, and then Zach Ertz, and you can go Nelson Agholor if you need him. I don't think I would stretch more than that because we're not sure what they're going to do. I think the game flow will go in their favor. It won't be like the Giants game where it's back and forth, where Jay Ajayi will be the big factor. He should have been last week, and he still was pretty decent with his passing game production. But Ajayi, clearly they want him to build into being the workhorse for the playoffs, and this is maybe their final tune-up because they want to get him a lot of work because Week 17, if they win this game, then they're going to rest starters. I think that's already hinted by Coach Doug Peterson here. So keep in mind, they're not going to hold things back in this one, especially with the home field advantage maybe on the line. So there you have it. That's your Christmas holiday edition of Matchup Wednesday, Week 16 on Locked On Fantasy Football. And make sure that you're looking for that special Locked On Fantasy Football draft there on Draft. Play Draft or use the app to do that. I will tweet out the link after the show there so you can check it out and join that draft. Again, it goes down at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And remember that promo code LONFL to get in on the action. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time for our Focused Thursday.